Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MISC's Q4 FY 2021 Analyst Briefing Conference Call. Navina from MISC Investor Relations team will run through the agenda for today's briefing. Navina, over to you.
Thank you, Diana. A very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in our fourth quarter financial year 2021 analyst briefing. We have with us today Encik Raja Azlan, Shah Raja Azwa, Vice President Finance, Encik Zahid Osman, Vice President Corporate Planning, Encik Aslin Halimi, Head of Financial Reporting, Governance and Budget Finance, Mr. Vincent Ng, General Manager, Corporate Planning. Before we start with the presentation, I would like to bring your attention to the disclaimer slide. We may make some forward-looking statements in reference to our plans and expectations, whereby actual results could differ due to unknown risks, uncertainties and other factors that are in many cases beyond MISC's control. We will now proceed with the presentation on financial highlights for the quarter's performance, which will be presented by Chair Aslin, followed by market outlook and business updates by Mr. Vincent. At the end of the presentation, we will open the line for a Q&A session. Our event manager will later provide instructions on the process. With that, I pass the session to Chair Aslin for our first agenda, the update on MISC's fourth quarter financial year 2021 financial performance. Chair Aslin, over to you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Navina. Thank you to the participants for joining MIT Berhad's quarter four financial year 2021 analyst briefing. First, I would like to bring your attention to page 3 of our analyst briefing pack. Higher revenue for the quarter, mainly due to the higher revenue from offshore segment due to the recognition of construction revenue for EFPSO units. Higher revenue also coming from the petroleum segment, mainly due to higher TCE rates as well as higher earning days. Heavy engineering segment also reported the higher revenue as compared to preceding quarter from the ongoing project and dry docking project. And finally, higher revenue from gas segment, mainly coming due to from the higher earning days. Higher profit before tax from operations during the quarter, mainly due to the petroleum and gas segment as a result of higher profit in tandem with the higher revenue as mentioned earlier. For the non-recurring items during the quarter, there were impairment of non-current assets in this current quarter, disposal of non-current assets in this current quarter, as well as gain and disposal of interest in joint ventures in this current quarter. If I may move on to page 4 of our EB pack, higher revenue coming from the higher revenue from offshore segment due to recognition of construction revenue for EFPSO unit. Higher revenue also coming from petroleum segment, mainly due to higher TCE rates. Higher revenue also contributed by the gas segment due to higher earning days due to the lease commencement for 5 VLAX. However, this was offset by the lower revenue from heavy engineering segment, mainly due to lower activities for ongoing project as compared to the previous corresponding quarter. Profit before tax from operations during the quarter, mainly due to the lower PBT from operations from the lower recognition of construction profit for the FPSO. Lower profit before tax from operations from heavy engineering, mainly coming from the additional provision, cost provision that were recognized for ongoing projects in quarter 4, 2021. The above was offset by the higher profit before tax from operations from petroleum and gas segment due to the higher profit in tandem with high revenue as well. Moving on to page 5 of our EB pack. Cash flow and profit before tax from operations. Overall, if you can see, our cash flow from operations continuously recorded a reasonable level comparing between preceding and corresponding quarter, mainly supported by the steady cash flow generated from the offshore business and the gas segment's portfolio of long-term contracts. On page 7, our debt balances shows an increase as compared to the previous preceding quarter, mainly due to drawdown for the activities which are in the plan. Moving on to financial performance by business segment. On page 9 of the slide for gas and asset solution segment, revenue and profit before tax were quite stable between the comparative quarters, mainly coming from high earning days as well as commencement of 5 VLAX. On page 10, for petroleum and product shipping segment, higher revenue recorded as compared to preceding and corresponding quarter, mainly due to higher TCE rate for mid-size tankers and DPSP segments as well as high earning days. Higher profit before tax recorded in the preceding quarter, mainly due to the higher revenue as mentioned earlier. On page 11, for offshore business, higher revenue recorded in the current and preceding quarter, mainly due to the recognition of construction revenue for AAPSO unit. As for the current PBT as compared to preceding quarter, the movement mainly coming from one-time gain for our offshore contract extension. However, this was offset by the provision for additional cost for conversion of an FPSO. For the profit before tax as compared to corresponding quarter, it is lower, mainly due to the provision for additional cost that I mentioned earlier. However, this was offset by the one-time gain for contract extension that we have in the previous corresponding quarter. And finally, in the last segment for marine and heavy engineering on the page 12 of our presentation deck, higher revenue recorded in the current quarter as compared to preceding quarter, mainly due to higher revenue from ongoing projects. As compared to the corresponding quarter, lower revenue mainly due to decreased activities from an ongoing project. As you can see, higher loss before tax in quarter 4 2021 as compared to the previous two quarters, mainly due to the additional cost provision recognized for an ongoing project in this quarter. Now I pass to Vincent for the market and business updates. Thank you.
Thanks, Exlin. Good evening to everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'll start with the LNG shipping segment. As you can see from the chart, the fourth quarter spot rates jumped quite considerably to a record high on strong winter demand from both Europe and Asia amidst shortages of LNG as well as elevated prices. Spot charter rates were also driven by tight vessel availability, exacerbated by increased shipping distances from the US to the Far East and congestion at the Panama Canal. Meanwhile, if you look at the grey line, which is the 3-year time charter rate, we can see that over the quarters it has continued to strengthen as some charterers have taken the opportunity to charter some of the requirements ahead of 2022 on the expectation of a continued tight market. Although spot rates have eased in January 2022, the medium-term outlook for LNG shipping remains favorable. Moving on to the next slide, on page 15. A record 86 LNG carriers were ordered in 2021, adding to the very large order book with, as you can see, there are expected deliveries of 72 LNG carriers in 2024. Orders are expected to remain strong in 2022 to meet shipping requirements for new projects as well as for fleet replacement. Moving on from the LNG segment to petroleum, while the LNG shipping market had a strong finish to the year, we could not say the same for the petroleum segment. The winter season pickup in spot rates was very minimal, with seaborne trading volumes remaining well below 2019 levels. Although the oil demand has recovered and there has been continued easing of production cuts by OPEC, nevertheless, the volumes of oil are still pretty low. And there's also a tonnage oversupply. For the immediate period, the outlook is clouded by the rapid spread of the Omicron virus variant. However, in the medium term, the outlook remains positive, and we expect that demand-supply fundamentals would improve, especially in the second half of 2022. Turning to the next page, showing the deliveries as well as demolitions, you can see that the fleet growth is expected to remain muted for the petroleum segment, with the order book still relatively low by historical standards. And new orders are also expected to be limited amidst higher new building prices and continued vessel supply. With the extended period of low spot rates, we have seen that scrapping has picked up pace. As you can see, the scrapping level in 2021 is considerably higher than it was in 2019 and 2020. So this trend, if continued, bodes well for this tanker market to correct the market imbalance and to help the market improve in the later part of 2022. Moving on to the offshore segment, there's not much difference in this chart from the previous quarter. We continue to have positive expectations for the offshore segment, especially on the FPSO market, with the high oil prices and continued global economic recovery. FPSO contract awards rebounded strongly in 2021 after the slump in 2020, and demand for FPSOs is expected to stay robust in 2022 and into the medium term. Most of this growth will come from Latin America, Asia Pacific, and Africa. That concludes the market environment, and now I shall go into the business updates. Just for information of the participants, what we used to call the LNG business segment, we have changed the name to Gas Assets and Solutions. This in January 2022, in recognition that the segment now covers a wider range of products. It has gone into ethane and is also looking into other non-conventional gas asset solutions as well. The segment continues to explore conventional and non-conventional opportunities in the market. Moving on to petroleum segment, the current portfolio mix for the quarter is at 71 to 29 term to spot. During the quarter, AET chartered in one Aframax and disposed of three mid-size tankers during the quarter. Post the end of the quarter in January, we took delivery of Eagle Campos, the first of three Swissmax DPST shuttle tankers for Shell to be deployed in Brazil. As for the next slide, offshore segment, the focus of the segment is to continue with the execution of the FPSO project in Brazil and also selectively sourcing for attractive opportunities in targeted markets. During the quarter, contract extensions were entered into for FPSO Kike, FPSO Ruby 2, and FSO Putri Dulang. I will not cover the litigation matters. I can leave that to you to read. I'll move on to the last segment, which is marine and heavy engineering. On the top part of the slide, you can see these are just the full year milestones for the segment, which I will not cover in detail. In terms of the order book backlog, as at December, it is 2.2 billion ringgit. And the tender book is at 13 to 14 billion ringgit as of December as well. So that concludes my presentation. I'll pass you back to Naveena.
Thank you, Che Eslin and Mr. Vincent, for the presentation on financial performance and business updates. With the completion of the presentation, I would now like to hand over the call to the event manager who will guide and manage the Q&A session. Thank you. Over to you, Diana.
Thank you, Naveena. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Please state your name and company you represent before asking your questions. Our first question is from Umit UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead.
Hi guys.
Umit, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi guys, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. Okay, all right.
Please go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, all right. My first question is, you mentioned the contract extension for may I know how much was at the one-off gain occurred for this 3 FPSO for the finance lease gain. Yeah.
Yeah, Azlan here. Yeah, so for the contract extension, some of these were in our joint ventures, but overall we believe that is around total impact of maybe about 40 to 50 million US for the whole year.
40 to 60 million. Okay. May I know what
for the whole year?
For the whole year. Oh, I see. Okay. So out of the 165 million associated JV income, ringgit during the quarter, how much of that is the is one off or say the gains? Yeah.
About 60-70%.
60-70% of the 165. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay, and my next question is on the Mero Tree. May I know what is the update on that? And when do you plan to start up the FPSO? As in the target delivery lah. Yeah, which particular month in 2024 is an update?
Yeah, I mean the progress is going well. We have this year we have I think reached up about a third of the percentage of completion, and we are looking at commencing the operation in the early part of 2024.
Okay, so it's still on track lah, versus your original guidance on first half.
Yeah, it's more or less there.
Okay, and in terms of the earnings, right? Just to get a sense, because for the convenience of our analyst forecast. Because my thinking is that the capex for this FPSO is quite similar to, and the tenders as well is quite similar to the Musud, right? So could we expect the first year lease income for the FPSO once it starts the operation would be similar to the Musud first year lease income as well?
I think
the Musud got that. Yeah.
So, and also in Musud it was an acquisition, whereas this is a construction. And I tell you, as I keep on telling you guys need to pay attention to the cash flow and not the accounting, because the accounting is going to confuse everyone. And furthermore, we are valued based on a cash flow method, sum of parts. It's best that you look at the cash flow of the project.
Okay. Okay, but let's say on an income basis, do we look at, let's say 100% stake, do we be expecting like $100 million or the kind of level?
For the profit, when you do this finance lease accounting for an asset like Mero, mm-hmm. a huge chunk of profit we are going to recognize up front as construction profit. Right? So
after we
recognize the construction profit, the profit from the FPSO for following commencement of operation is not going to be very big. It's basically going to be like a finance income. So you're talking about maybe 5-6% times by the asset, on a declining basis. Lah.
5-6%, assuming kind of rate. Lah. Okay.
Yeah. So in the first year, it will be reducing every year. Not relevant for the valuation of MIC. Lah. Again, you should look at the cash flow. What is the accretion to the value of MIC as a result of this project? Lah?
Okay, got it. And may I have an update on... I know you're probably still in the midst of discussing potential investors to come in. Reasonably, what would be the eventual target stake that you want to retain for this FPSO? Reasonably large. Should we be looking at 50% stake or 25% stake?
Our strategy is for all the big FPSOs, which are more than a billion, we should go on a 50% basis.
50%?
Yeah, 50% basis, because the idea is that we want to do a few of these projects, And if you look at companies like SBM and MODEC, they also do this.
Yep.
They develop a project and then they invite investors to come in, so that it is that, so that they're able to do, you know, a lot of these type of projects, which will be good for the future cash flow of the company, lah.
All right. Okay. So we should assume 50% stake, lah. In our forecast, that's the target. Yeah. And this 50%, would it be still under the revenue line, or would it fall under the joint venture associate line?
It'll be under the
JV line. Okay. All right. Okay. I think you mentioned somewhere in your Bursa statement that you have entered into interest rate swap agreement. Can you update on that? Like, have you managed to swap most of your borrowings to fixed rates, things like that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our practice is to, to swap all our, long-term loans. And fix it lah. So I think today we have got maybe about 70 to 80% of our loans currently fixed, right? Yeah. Because when we make the decision to do a project, we assume a particular interest rate, and if we can meet that target, we quickly lock it in. We are not in the business of speculating.
Okay. When were they locked in? Is it towards early this year and when you mentioned 70 to 80% of the loans is including all your short term and long term borrowings, and out of that 70 to 80% is already locked in on the fixed interest rate, right?
Yeah, you see, we lock in the long term loans. The short term loans are mainly normally bridging loans to bridge the construction or development of our assets. So ones we normally don't swap. We will only swap those ones which are, you know, the project financing kind of loans.
All right. Yeah. Once you put them to project financing, for Mero 3, I believe.
Correct. So for Mero, it has yet to start operation. So we're still talking about a bridger, lah. And in this bridging loan, we do not swap it.
So for this bridging loan, roughly when should we expect the project financing to come in to, you know, replace the bridging loan?
Upon commencement of the operation, then we will upon completion of the project, then we will repay the bridging loan and refinance it with project financing.
I see. All right. Okay. And my last question for now is, I think it was mentioned briefly in the presentation that there was some cost provision incurred for the FPSO conversion during the quarter. May I know what was the nature of that and how much was the amount?
We have got a few kind of unique costs that are relevant for the Mero project. And also, basically, when you do this accounting, overall, we're talking about low to mid-teens in terms of the margin, the accounting margin, right? And if you notice, up to now, we have been recording in the high teens, the margin for the Mero project. So based on the project milestone, we then need to accrue certain costs, which may be a cost that we need to incur towards the end of the project, and these costs they cannot be accrued uniformly over the project life. They have to be accrued upon the certain milestones, right? And again, this is the problem with the lease accounting and the accounting profit. It's confusing. It's very confusing and doesn't really give you any meaningful information. Whatever it is, there's no change in terms of our FID or our project economics. The cash flow and the cost and all that has all been accounted for in our FID.
I see.
In addition to that, in the early part of the project, we funded the project with equity. Then we only drew down the bridger somewhere during the second part of the year. So we then had to provide the interest cost provision during the later part of the second half of the year. I think the key message is that.
Please go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the key message is that in terms of cost and returns, it remains intact from a cash flow perspective.
Okay, so that means if I were to ask what were the construction gains on Mero 3 in fourth quarter, is it lower than the third quarter because you have net off with the all these cross provisions that you mentioned, and how much was that?
You are correct. I think you can more or less work it out because I told you already what was the JV profit and all that, right?
Okay. Okay. My last question quickly is can you provide an update on your bid book? Versus say one quarter ago, has your bid book overall, you know, not just on MEC side but on your group level, has it increased? And is it more for the offshore FPSO segment?
Ho Meng, Lee Vincent here.
Yeah.
Overall, I think our in terms of the opportunities that we're bidding for or in the process of pursuing, you could say that we have north of 2 billion, 2 to 3 billion of opportunities. We just spread across the three capital owning segments, which is AET, gas business as well as offshore. So we're pursuing opportunities on all the three. Of course, our heavy engineering business continues to pursue contracts as well.
Okay, north of 3 billion is the...
2 to 3. Not north of 2 billion, 2 to 3. You can take 2 to 3 as a figure.
Okay. And how much of that may reasonably be awarded in this year?
Hard to say lah. But it, I mean, you could say that even as we speak now, there could be other other tenders that come up in the middle of the year that could still be awarded by the end of the year. So it's a running number lah, as we go along. So it won't necessarily diminish lah.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot. That's all I have for now.
Thank you. Our next question, Mr. Alex Goh from MBank Research, Sindran Berhad. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a few questions. It's coming back to Ho Meng's question regarding the offshore recognition for the FPSO Mero. I'm looking at your page, slide 11. I'm just looking on your PBT, right, from third quarter to fourth quarter. It looks like there is a slight increase in your PBT, in your page 11. But looking at your Bursa announcement, the breakdown for your offshore business, it looks like in the fourth quarter, there's a 40% drop in your operating profit in the offshore business. I can't quite jive the difference between this. Is there some sort of a Forex element in this, or could you give a bit of an explanation behind this?
You're talking about page what, Alex?
Okay, I'm looking at slide 11, page 11.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at offshore business, right? There's a 55 million pre-tax profit for your offshore business in third quarter. Right, fourth quarter is about 60 million fourth quarter, right? That's a PBT. But if you look at your Bursa announcement, I've actually done it on a spreadsheet, from third quarter to fourth quarter. If you look at your segmental, on page 16, on the breakdown of your group performance, I'm just looking at your offshore business in your fourth quarter 2021, you're looking at the operating profit of 136 million. But in your third quarter, the previous quarter, it was a 243 million. That means in this fourth quarter, it's a drop instead, right? It's a drop of 40%, right? So it's jarring, between your Malaysian ringgit as well as the US dollar. I'm just trying to understand what is the difference causing this difference.
So in very simple terms, the bulk of the profit that we recognize in the current quarter was basically...
If I may, in the Bursa announcement, the operating profit is excluding JV results. Where else, in the deck that we shared earlier, page 11 for offshore, this is inclusive of share of JVs.
Okay. Okay. But if that is the case, your third quarter, okay, that would mean that your JV results had actually dropped in your fourth quarter. But I'm looking at your JV number in your fourth quarter. It actually went up instead. You know, on your first page or your profit, your P&L, your JV profit actually shot up instead. So that would, and third quarter, if you're saying that, you know, on your Bursa pack, it does not have your JV number. If I cooperate third quarter to fourth quarter, it should, you know, it doesn't quite jive.
No, you're talking about the drop in the JV profit is between the fourth quarter of 2020 to 2021, right?
Fourth quarter against third quarter, 2021.
Fourth quarter against third quarter.
Actually, your JV went up in your fourth quarter, right? But then your offshore business dropped.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, because in this fourth quarter, we had to book in certain cost provision for the project that is under development.
Okay, what project is this?
I think you know which is the project that we're doing, and we were talking about it just now with your colleague just now.
Sorry, the line was a bit off. Could you run through again which project again?
It's the Mero project. There's only one project under development now, right? Under the offshore unit.
Okay. Yeah, but again, I'm trying to jive it with your slide 11. It's showing the profit going up instead of dropping. So how does that change?
Slide 11. Wait, let me just see. Oh, okay. No, as I said, in slide 11, the numbers are basically inclusive of the JV numbers, right? So inside this 60 million US that you see of PBT for the fourth quarter, it includes the JV profit.
Okay, I understand that. But in your fourth quarter, all right, in your Bursa pack, you are showing your JV number was actually increasing instead.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's why you see that.
Oh, I
see. In the other pack that you see, it includes the operation result plus the JV result.
I see. So this means that the operating profit here does not include the JV, all right?
Yeah, that's what you said just now.
I see. Okay, so sorry. Okay. And then I just want to check with you. You mentioned that one of the heavy engineering projects were you had to make a cost provision. Could you tell me which one was that?
Yeah, again, we don't really want to tell you which project that is, but I think, basically the COVID impact has resulted in certain impact to the timing of the project. We are discussing with the client, and, you know, while we have booked in cost provisions, we are also working on counterclaims as well. I think we actually put a note in our Bursa announcement under the COVID impact. If you look towards the Bursa announcement in B12, you can see that we have also put in some disclosure in relation to that.
Okay. There were some disposal gains that you have recorded in your fourth quarter. Is this for which vessels and for which JVs did you dispose of?
Yeah, so these are basically the disposal of some of the assets under the petroleum unit.
Which vessels are these?
These would be the Aframax vessels, the mid-size tankers.
Yeah, are these operating in the US?
Yes, the mid-size tankers, they will be operating. Hold on.
Most of the mid-size tankers are in the Atlantic Basin. Well, the list of the vessels that were sold, you can find it on the slide I presented. Page 21.
Right, great.
Page 21 of the deck.
Okay, great. And what about JVs? Are they related to the vessels?
No. These are related to some former subsidiary, some JV companies where we diluted our stake.
Okay. Regarding the cost provisions for the heavy engineering side, do you expect further provisions coming in, or do you think that is you are actually you've already provided the necessary at this stage?
Yeah, I think we have just completed our audit, so the auditors went through a very thorough process combing through all the details. We would like to believe that we have fully provided for all these costs now.
Okay. When do you think your heavy engineering division can turn around? Do you think things are with the COVID impact of diminishing? You know, do you think this division can turn around this year, or you think it's another year for a recovery in earnings?
Yeah, I mean the border restrictions are causing problem in terms of our marine business. It's affected by the vessels can't come in, you know, so therefore this affects the marine business. And also it is affecting the pandemic and all that is affecting, the heavy engineering business as well. But with things improving, we believe that we will be able to slowly get back on track. We are hopeful that in this year, we'll be able to turn a corner.
Okay, great, wonderful. And could you give us a breakdown of your spot-to-term charters in terms of VLCC, Suezmax, and Aframax?
I'll provide those numbers. For VLCC, is term to spot is 94-6. For Suezmax, is 72-28, and for Aframax is 60-40. So you can see that the VLCC segment and the Afra segment, the term portion has gone up. There's a slight decrease in the Suez segment.
Okay, all right. Great. Thanks, that's me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Mr. Ben Shane Lim from Macquarie Capital Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the presentation. My first question is just around your bid book. You mentioned that the GAS segment is now going for other non-conventional opportunities. Could you give a bit of color the kind of projects you're going for that's considered non-conventional?
I think there was a general statement in terms of the strategy of the division. It not necessarily be in the current bid book. It's the current bid book is primarily, I think you can see based on my description of the market outlook, the LNG shipping itself is hot. It's a hot market. There's a lot of new projects coming on stream. So the activity level around LNG shipping is currently very strong. In terms of the other non-conventional, I think we have already entered the ethane market, so we believe there are more opportunities in ethane. And there are others like LNG to power and other types of liquefied gas that we may go to in the future. So these are more like the emerging markets that where we believe they are currently niche but have growth potential. So I don't have any specific things to share with you right now, but just to give you some color on the areas that we're looking at.
All right. So if I were to have an expectation, the kind of jobs you'll win this year, it's most likely to be conventional than anything else, right? Mostly LNG, right?
For this year, the activity level is strongest around conventional LNG shipping.
Okay. And I know you've said in the past you aim to, win about $1 billion, new jobs per year. Do you think that's a target you aim for this year as well? I know you said you would slow down a bit potentially. But if the LNG market so strong, I was hoping you'd be more optimistic.
I think we did say that we would slow down in 2021, which we actually did. So as if you observe our announcements for last year, was we had one announcement for a new award. So for this year, we are more optimistic. We believe the market is recovering. So especially on the LNG side and also on the offshore side. So those markets are promising. So I can't give you a figure, but we believe the 1 billion was more of an average that we would collect, over a period of a few years. So in some years it could be more, and some years could be less.
Okay, thanks. And moving on to your Aframax fleet, I know you mentioned in the last quarter that effective utilization was low because there's just not a lot of work. Are your tanker fleet doing more work in the fourth quarter?
Our Aframax fleet is better employed this quarter. Our lightering and the COA business has improved a little bit. But the rates, as you can see, are still relatively low overall. So it's a relative measure. So we are better off in fourth quarter compared to third quarter. But from a historical perspective, it's still very low, the rates.
Oh, okay. Is there a number you could give, just roughly how hard the fleet is working overall? Just a ballpark figure?
Sorry, again, could you repeat?
Is there some sort of a ballpark number you could give, maybe it's like 60 or 70%. Just want to get a sense of how idle the fleet is in the fourth quarter.
I think the utilization, if you're talking about utilization, we're in the high 90s, 98%, something like that. So we are only, all our fleet is quite heavily employed. The difference you can see is only on the rates. So it's not about the fleet lying idle. Yeah, it's not so much about that.
Okay, I just recall in the last quarter you said that a lot of your Aframax vessels were, there's no work to be done.
Rather what I said was there was fewer lightering opportunities, so we actually put them to spot. But because spot was, you can see the results was poor because the spot rates were very bad. So lightering rates tend to be better. So once we employ the ships on lightering, our revenue would go up relative to a normal charter. But last quarter, what we said was the lightering activity was lower. So I think in terms of utilization rate, we're still in the high 90% as well. So it's not so much that they are idle again, but we just had to put them on less attractive activities.
Ah, okay, that's clear. And are you seeing lightering?
Because we prefer to use our mid-sized on lightering, which pays us better. But unfortunately, during that period, it was slower. So we had no choice but to deploy some of the fleet to spot or where we could find term charters. So this period, I think we have actually improved in terms of the lightering and also moving some of them to term, locking in some of the term charters so that we are less exposed to the spot market.
Okay, so you're improving term to spot. Is more driven by a better lightering demand, better lightering outlook. Is that right?
It's a mix of both, lah. Partly because we move it to term and partly because of better lightering.
Okay. And one last question for me, just around your fleet size, right? I know you've been gradually disposing of your Aframax vessels. Do you have a rough guide for us what your Aframax fleet will look like by the end of this year? Just a ballpark, are you looking to downsize by, let's say, another 10 vessels, 5 vessels? Just get a sense.
No definitive number. We look at the market, whether the disposal market is attractive. We also look, of course, we also have new builds that are coming into the fleet. So it's a combination of rejuvenation. What I did say that we are not actively looking to expand the fleet. So we will replace. We may decrease a little bit, but if the opportunity arises, we will still, if we do not buy new vessels, what we would do is in charter vessels to let out. So those are, that's why you do see that we do have in charter from time to time. So the fleet size would be a mix of vessels that we own plus vessels that we in charter. So it's a bit dynamic in that sense, in terms of the operating fleet size. But we may not buy so many new ships of our own. We may in charter instead. Given that there's an oversupply in the market, it doesn't make sense to add to the oversupply.
Just directionally, should we expect your Aframax fleet to shrink going forward? I know strategically that was the indication you gave, right? So it should still be shrinking, right?
I think not over a year, maybe over a longer period, we would think of it shrinking. But like I said, it could be that our own fleet could be shrinking. but the fleet that we operate need not necessarily be shrinking if we are in chartering. So it could be that we are going more maybe what we call asset light in that sense. Yeah, so we don't have such heavy capex commitments, but we still have the ability to service our clients.
All right. Okay, that's clear. That's all the questions from me. Thanks, Vincent.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question from Mr. Raymond Yap, CGS-CIMB Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Just to follow up on the question by Ben on the disposal of the vessel. So for the Bunga Kelana 7 and 8, can I check that the sales proceeds and the entire transaction was essentially booked already in the fourth quarter? Or do we still expect some cash to come in the first quarter?
Yeah, I believe that we have fully accounted for the transaction.
Okay. And the gain on disposal of JV in the fourth quarter, could I just get some color? Which JV is this and why was it this disposed?
I mean, it was one of our small O&M companies where we diluted our stake.
Okay. And this is an O&M company for the offshore division, right?
That's right, that's right.
All right, okay. And just going to the MMHE cost provision in the fourth quarter, how much exactly
My apologies, Raymond. This was one of our, if you look in the announcement, we dispose of FPSO Brazil. This is basically one of the companies related to the Brazilian project, our old Brazilian project, where we were pursuing a liquidation of winding it down.
Okay, so you disposed of it entirely, the FPSO Brazil?
Yeah. My apologies to the person before this, so I mistook it. It's actually disclosed under A6 of our press release, under the last item.
Okay, so I look at Bursa Note A6.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, okay, so... in terms of the additional cost provision for MMHE, which was booked in the fourth quarter, is this for the same project that had additional cost provision in the first quarter?
No, it's not.
Okay, so it's a different project. How confident are you that we will not see additional cost provisions in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, we tried to kitchen sink it in this quarter, so we feel that we have been quite conservative in the cost provisions this quarter. So, and on top of that, we have tightened our operations. Touch wood, we should be okay in next year.
All right, okay. And what was the amount of the cost provision in the fourth quarter?
I mean, can you try to read into that from the MHB announcement?
Okay, I'll check on that one. Okay, now just talking about the Miro 3 construction revenue and profit, could you give us the value of the revenue and profit for the construction side in the fourth quarter?
In the fourth quarter, as I mentioned to you last quarter, Raymond, we were going to book these cost provisions. I already gave you the heads up. Basically, we need to book in some cost provisions, which need to be provided based on certain milestones, and we have to basically walk through this auditor, as well as our independent consultant, and due to the nature of this particular cost, we can't simply just accrue it in a standard uniform manner. Just accrue it for this project.
So
it has to be based on certain milestones.
I understand. So, are you saying that the cost provisions in the fourth quarter were entirely expected right from the beginning?
Yes.
Or
they were,
they
were taken into account in our FID. Yeah, these are anticipated costs.
Okay, so it's not saying that it's not something that was unexpected. You had expected this provision to happen from the beginning.
That's right, that's right.
Okay. So still hoping that you could share the value of the construction revenue and profit for the fourth quarter itself. If you have the number.
The fourth quarter, I can tell you for the whole year, it was roughly about 90 million for the whole year.
For the profit?
Yeah.
Okay. And how about the revenue for the whole year?
For the whole year, maybe about 500, 600.
Quite a big range there.
Yeah, I mean, take the midpoint.
Okay. And remind me again, what is the military delivery date?
It's somewhere in the early part of 2024.
All right, okay. The KK extension will be until when?
That was a 6-year extension, if I'm not mistaken. Up to 2027 or 28.
Okay, exactly 6 years now. All right. And the 8.1 million one-off in the LNG division, what is this in relation to? It's an impairment of a certain vessel. Which vessel was this?
What can you repeat that, please?
The LNG for the gas division, there was a one-off negative 8.1 million. Is that due to an impairment of a certain LNG vessel?
Yeah, there were two LNG carriers that we impaired.
Okay.
So, sorry, five. As part of our annual review into impairment, we had to impair about five LNG carriers.
Okay, and why is this so?
I mean, because, you know, normally we look at those LNG carriers which are approaching expiry, and after that we'll do a review of the value in use, as well as the market value, and if there's any shortfall, then we will book in the impairment. I mean, we do a very structured impairment review twice a year, one at the halfway point, and then the second one at the end of the year.
Understand, yeah. Indeed, there are a couple of LNG vessels which will see contract expiry this year and next year. Do you expect these to be extended, my question?
I mean, there are discussions with the client, but as of now, no firm or concrete agreement yet on that, but we're working on it now.
Okay. What do you assess to be the probability of, you know, more than 50 or less than 50%?
I'll say just, for now, we just are hopeful, so maybe 50-50.
Okay. Okay, in terms of the offshore, there was a 4.3 million positive one-off in relation to? Oh, it's in relation to that gain on disposal of the FPSO Brazil. Okay.
Correct, you're right.
Sure, all right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you. We now have our last question from Ho Ming as a follow-up question from UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just a few more. Hi, just a few more questions from me. The Brazil disposal, I saw the note in the Busan announcement, but there was no amount that was stated. Was it a very small amount? Is it negligible? Or if not, how much is was the amount of disposal?
It is more or less the value of the gain, because there was not much net asset there. We are winding down this company and we are basically selling it to our partner to implement the liquidation.
Oh, how much was the gain? I didn't really catch that. Was it in the...
I think we showed it to you. The gain was 4.3 million US.
Oh, 4.3 million. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. And the impairment that you did on the LNG vessels, right? assuming if they don't get a new contract, will they be earmarked for disposal? I mean, what is your plan for those energy ships?
Yeah, I mean, the plan for these vessels are either to renew with the client, to redeploy for alternative use such as FSUs or FSRU. We are talking to some parties to see whether we can redeploy these assets. And in a worst case situation, if we can't do that, then we will dispose it.
Okay, because I saw in your balance sheet you have 14 million ringgit amount of asset held for sale. May I know what assets are these related to? Yeah. In the 40 million ringgit in the balance sheet.
This is an asset under MHB. We are lifting it up from the MHB group. They've got like something, a small asset under there that they
are
working on a sale.
Okay. The floating dock. Okay, so this is the MHB asset. Okay. And may I know just briefly, how was the LNG ships doing in the fourth quarter? Were they like fully utilized? And do you benefit in terms of rate increases? Yeah. On the spot book, effectively.
On the, you're talking about the spot book, is it?
For the overall LNG, both the term and the spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the fourth quarter, they are all utilized. Even the spot
dry docking was up to zero,
I mean, there was dry docking. Mm-hmm. There was some dry docking in the fourth quarter as well, but the dry docking was, not as high as in the third quarter,
Okay. And among your spot fleet, did they enjoy any renewal, higher rate, or no renewal done in the past few months?
Most of them have been locked in at a particular rate. In terms of the floating DCR, hold on 1 minute.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, we for the those on floating, we managed to get the higher end of the range,
How many of that out of the, I think you have four spot, right?
Two of them we managed to get the higher end of the range out of the three that are on floating.
Two out of three.
Floating and both we managed to get on the higher end of floating range.
Okay, all right. And the third one, when would the next renewal come for the third one?
Homing.
Yep.
We have out of the four vessels, three of them have renewals expiries in 2022 and one in 2023.
Okay. All right. So just now you said three were recently renewed at a higher rate and they will expire in 2022, is it? I mean, the next review.
I'm just correct? Giving general out of the four out of four, one has a. The expiry of the contract is 23. The other three are in 22. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Vincent. Yeah, that's all I have for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. As we have come to the end of the Q&A session, I will now hand the session back to Navina for closing comments. Over to you, Navina.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. On behalf of MISC Berhad, we would like to thank you for your participation. The PDF version of our presentation slides will be made available in our corporate website post this earnings call. To the sell-side analysts, we would highly appreciate that you forward a copy of your published research report to the MISC Investor Relations team for our reference. Thank you once again, everyone. Stay safe and have a good evening.